And let's turn next to the talks on a post-Brexit trade deal between the EU and Britain, which might or might not be entering their final hours. Fishing rights still haven't been agreed, with the focus now on how much access EU boats will have to UK waters. Our Europe editor Tony Connolly is on the line from Brussels. Tony, as far as fishing rights are concerned, what has changed?
Well, there are two fundamental issues when it comes to the fisheries negotiations, Rachel. One is what they call the quota share. So that's the share that each country gets of a particular species of fish. And the other fundamental demand of the EU is that European boats still get access to British waters to catch the fish. So you're talking about both quota share and access. Now, the big sort of scrap up until now has been over the quota share, you know, what percentage of the value of the fish that EU boats catch in British water would be handed back to the UK, and how much could they keep. And roughly speaking, Michel Barnier has been looking for between 15 and 18% of the value of fish caught in British waters to be given back to the UK. The UK is looking for about 80%. Those talks are kind of parked, but what they've been looking at now is this idea of access, and Britain appears to be really emphasising this idea of taking control or taking back control of their waters and having much stricter constraints over who gets into to their waters to do the fishing. And there's a linkage now between access and having an annual negotiation over what's called the total allowable catch or the TAC. I mean, fishing communities will be familiar with these terms, but it's basically how much of your share can you catch depending on the science each year. And essentially, the UK seems to want to limit access to certain boats based on an annual negotiation. So in other words, each year you could be facing a denial of access to British waters, and that would obviously be a grave problem for European boats. And in response, the EU is saying, no, we need to have stability, we need to have predictability, and so that's where things are at there.
What about the other obstacles to agreement? Has any progress been made there?
Well, you hear of incremental progress in the other issues like the level playing field and governance, but again, no major breakthroughs on the question of the level playing field and state aid and so on. The UK appears to be reticent over what kind of powers its own competition regulator would have to constrain a British government in future from bailing out a particular company or a particular sector, whereas the EU wants to have fairly binding rules that would apply on both sides to make sure that neither side gets an unfair competitive advantage through state subsidies. Governance, the idea of how you resolve disputes, again, no real breakthrough there. The UK is resisting any idea that the EU could retaliate in one sector for a breach of the rules in another sector. So we're not really seeing any major breakthroughs there. And time, of course, is getting very short.
Yeah, we say that almost every time we speak, but it's true. If this is to be agreed and then ratified by the end of the year, they really don't have a lot of time.
Well, yeah, that's exactly true, Rachel. And funny, I mean, Michel Barnier, speaking to EU ambassadors yesterday, talked about the coming hours being vital, even that it was going to be needed. A deal had to happen within maybe 48 hours or something. But then member states are saying, look, why are we putting ourselves under the pressure of procedural considerations like the European Parliament ratifying and other formalities that have to be gone through? Why are we doing that in a way that might deliver a suboptimal deal? You know, why don't we push the formalities to the absolute limit to make sure we get the right kind of deal? And then we could be, again, talking about a potential provisional application of the treaty from the 1st of January, and then ratification might happen later. But again, as we've mentioned before, that opens up a whole other realm of complexities and legal and political difficulties.
Tony, as always, thank you for joining us this morning. Our Europe editor, Tony Connolly.